In a few minutes, we'll talk about a world where vacation is not a dirty word. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Federal raids to round up suspected immigrants in the U.S. illegally are expected to begin on Sunday. People are on edge, and as Marketplace's Andy Euler reports, resulting deportations could also be felt among businesses nationwide.
The U.S. is home to more than 10 million undocumented immigrants. About 8 million of them are in the labor force. Stephen Yale Lair teaches immigration law at Cornell University. He says even if these raids are happening at people's homes and not at their workplaces, some businesses are going to feel them.
Well, in a tight labor market, any disruption, whether it's someone getting sick or someone being put into immigration detention, can cause havoc for an employer because they need to try to find a replacement.
Officials have also indicated ICE might detain immigrants who happen to be in an area being searched, even if those people weren't the specific target. Elizabeth Almanza at the immigrant advocacy group American Gateway says productivity has already suffered simply due to the threat.
More individuals, because of this fear of raids, be it home, be it in their place of business, are afraid to leave their homes because they don't know they're going to get pulled over or arrested.
Officials say ICE will carry out raids in at least 10 major cities over the course of several days. They're targeting people who have been issued deportation orders. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Now, how quickly or slowly is China's economy growing? The gross domestic product figures are out on Monday. The trade war is just one potential drag on that important economy. Marketplace's Jack Stewart reports.
China's economy is the world's second largest after the U.S. and has long been one of the fastest growing. Its first quarter growth was 6.4%, better than expected. When the new figures come out, Eshwar Prasad at Cornell University says there's one key thing economists want to know.
It'll be interesting to see if the latest data suggests that, in fact, growth is on track, or if it'll show that the trade war has really exacted a toll on the Chinese economy.
Arthur Krober of Gavcal Dragonomics, a Beijing-based consultancy, says so far, tight domestic credit conditions have had a much bigger effect on slowing growth than action by the U.S.
We actually did not see much evidence of the impact of the trade wars in the overall GDP data, either in 2018 or in the first half of 2019.
Even if growth does dip, a number around 6% sounds pretty strong in global terms. But for context, it's much less than the kind of growth China was reporting, as much as 14% before the Great Recession. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
We watch markets. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up about 0.3%. Now, did you catch the series about aging and financial vulnerability we did here last month? Brains and Losses, the one-hour special, is still streamable online. Normal, healthy, aging people can become more vulnerable to scammers due to changes to the brain or even living alone. The 79-year-old nurse who lost nearly $200,000 in a tech support scam. The mom who sent tens of thousands of dollars to someone online she's never met. How do we protect ourselves and the ones we love from financial abusers who can be strangers or family? Well, join me and Dr. Mark Lax for a live Ask Me Anything session on Reddit. It's today. These are called AMAs. Dr. Lax, a noted New York gerontologist, thinks we need many more protections. But older people do have rights to use their money as they see fit. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific today, a Reddit AMA. Look for the iAMA subreddit. Marketplace's Twitter and Facebook also have links. Mark and I are looking forward to taking your questions. You type them in, we type back. Live today.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
So what are you taking this summer? A week off, if that, to be a European? They don't get the whole summer off, but big parts of it do seem to completely shut down in August. From our workplace culture desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has been looking into America's fraught relationship with vacation. Hey there.
Hey, David.
So our European pals, is it really true or is it just a myth? What do they actually get for vacation?
The European Union mandates a minimum of 20 days of paid vacation a year, and most countries really require a lot more than that, upwards of 30 days per year. That includes paid holidays. How that compares to the U.S., the think tank, the Center for Economic Policy and Research, they've been tracking this issue. Here's their co-director, Eileen Applebaum.
There's no other wealthy country like us, either in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Japan, that has no requirement that workers have paid time off.
So while that is the case, most Americans do actually get some paid time off from their employers, on average 14 days a year. But because the law doesn't require it, about one in four Americans don't get any.
None. All right. Well, you know, the Puritans helped bring that kind of work ethic to America nearly 400 years ago. But, I mean, do cultural differences like that fully account for this difference between U.S. versus Europe?
Economists think probably not. There's one school of thought that, you know, this goes back to taxes. Europe generally has higher effective tax rates. So the idea is there's less incentive to work more hours because you get less bang for your buck. But that doesn't really account for why, you know, the law is so different, and that probably has something to do with the different ways that unions responded to the economic slowdown in the 70s. Now, before the 70s, Americans actually worked fewer hours than Europeans. But in Europe, you know, unions have power, and since they were stymied in trying to get wage gains, they fought for more time off instead, and it basically stuck.
Does it hurt economic output when whole chunks of society don't show up for work at around the same time in the summer?
Well, yeah, I mean, anyone who's traveled through Europe has seen this happen. And actually, economists have found that coordinating time off like that on such a large scale, it's actually more efficient, kind of like how, you know, many industries here shut down between Christmas and New Year's. Europeans do have a slightly lower per capita economic output than Americans, but they're slightly more productive per hour, so they get more work done in a shorter amount of time, which makes up for some of that lost productivity.
Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino, our workplace culture reporter, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can hear more of Megan's reporting on America's inability or reluctance to take time off later today on Marketplace. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.